Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. For some of you, welcome to the weekend. Holiday weekend. Like, kids have no school tomorrow.
Yeah,
so, you're a teacher.
I heard you mention that as I was walking out of the room here, and I don't know, I didn't even ask if my kids have. It doesn't really change that much for me if they don't. Anyway, you know, because I don't have to care for them. They're teenagers. You know, they just make their own eggs. But I didn't even think that. I don't think they are off. But it'd be pretty cool if they were. But
one man who is never off is our Sal Capaccio, who joins us now on the West Her Hotline. What are you doing right now, Sal, before talking to us? What are you working on?
I was actually hanging out with Max out on the front porch, and he really, really, really wants to go hit some baseballs. And awesome. I told him he has to wait until I'm done off the air with you, and then I'll take him over to Delaware Park.
All right. Sorry, Max. We'll be quick.
No kidding, right? I mean, come on. No, but that's
awesome.
I want to hit balls. First, he wanted to hit golf balls. And I'm like, you know, we can't really do that right now. And then I want to hit baseballs. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So this article, Josh Allen and Mitchell Trubisky, where did the idea come from?
The idea came from basically me being with Bulldog while you were out. And he said to me, what would be a good second season for Josh Allen? And I thought about it, and I thought about some numbers, and I said, well, who would kind of have the numbers I might be looking for? And then I really kind of got to, well, young quarterbacks, and I got to Mitchell Trubisky and the jump he made, and I really thought that maybe I would to look at his numbers and said, you know what? A lot of comparisons here. Mitchell Trubisky going into his second year last year, and the numbers he had from year one to year two, plus his team success, plus how they built their team around him. I said, I think if he has that type of season, that's a good season. And looking at his numbers, I think that's a nice jump. And I think we'd be happy if Josh Allen went to the numbers that Mitchell Trubisky had last year, considering where he was in year one.
They even had similarities in how they started, too, because Glennon was in Chicago, and Trubisky wasn't supposed to start, and I don't think he went in at halftime of the opener like Allen did, but still, and probably also didn't have an injury in the middle of the season either. But
they both ended up at 12 starts, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Allen and
right?
Trubisky.
Okay. So I kind of like that parallel, too, even, Sal.
Yeah, and you know, I went through the free agent signings the Bears had, including Taylor Gabriel and Allen Robinson and Trey Burton. And, you know, the Bills go out and get John Brown and Cole Beasley. And I know Tyler Croft is hurt now, but him and TJ Yeldon, a pass-catching running back, and said, you know, I don't know if I mean, I didn't realize, too, but after I did all the numbers and I kind of added it all up, that the guys that the Bears got, those three guys, I mean, they combined for close to 2,000 yards receiving. They were their second, third, and fourth leading receivers behind only Tariq Cohen. And, you know, I don't know if those guys will add up to that with the Bills, but if you throw in a Zay Jones or a Robert Foster, I think you can get there with that production, but it's all going to be on Allen, right? I mean, but you think about where Trubisky was in year one and where he went to year two. He went from 59 to 66 completion percentage. I do not expect Josh Allen to be a 66 completion percentage guy. I just don't. But I think it's very attainable to get to 3,200 yards, 24 touchdowns against 12 interceptions. I think that's a nice, those are nice numbers for year number two. But the problem was, I think when I, not the problem, but what happened was when I tweeted the article out, when it was out there, I got a lot of feedback from people who just said, oh my God, that's horrible. I don't want him to be Mitch Trubisky. Trubisky stinks. He needs to be better than that. And the point I'm trying to make with people is I'm not saying I think he's going to be better than Trubisky. I think his ceiling is higher than Trubisky. But considering where Trubisky was in year one to where he went in year two, I think that's a good step for that guy. And I think it would be a really good step for Josh Allen to make.
I think it's 12 appearances, not 12 starts, by the way. I mean, that's almost unbelievable to me. And I believe most things. But, like, who do they think Josh Allen is? You write. Like, who do they think he is? I mean, you write this comparison and people are like, no, that sucks. That's awful. Like, are you kidding me? Do you think anybody who's not a Bills fan would feel that, like, somehow it's insulting to Josh Allen to make that comparison?
No, but apparently a lot of Bills fans do. I received a lot of feedback battling with some people today on social media about it.
But just come on.
A friend of mine texted me and said, Sal, you're battling a, no offense, Mike, here, you're battling a fantasy football culture. That's what people look at, and it's not going to be good enough for them. And I get it. I get the overall point. But look, I mean, this was a big jump. That, if you think where Trubisky went from year one to year two, those are good numbers to go. And by the way, his team won 11 games or 12 games, and I think, or was it 11 games? 11 games, whatever it was. They won it by 3.5 games. They won their division. So I'm not even counting the wins and losses and how well he did. Right. And he's not a guy they tried to protect and say, let's hide our quarterback. He was a guy that actually went out and led an offense that was the ninth most points in the league.
I had it open here while we were talking about this on Monday, and I think he averaged 220 or 230 yards a game.
230. He went from 182 to 230.
And Allen was under 200 last year. Like that's a jump. Like that should be, like, if you're saying this, if you were, and I know you're not, but if you were saying that's his ceiling, that's his max, then I'd be why didn't you draft another quarterback this year? Like, is that wouldn't be acceptable. But, you know, you're trying to build something out of him. And that's, you know, to me, a pretty positive step in the process is how I would look at it. I like the comparison a lot.
And that's a point of it, too, that I would make. The same thing, which is I don't know where he's going to go to year three. I don't know where Trubisky's going to go to year three. Trubisky could take another step. He could step back. I actually think Trubisky doesn't have nearly as high of a ceiling, and he's going to be closer to that ceiling right now after year two than Josh Allen will be after year two. At least I hope that's the case. But I'm not naive enough to, you know, some people said, well, that's low standards. You should hope he should be Carson Wentz or Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I hope to win the lottery tomorrow, too. I mean, come on, right? What are we talking about here? But you have to be a little bit realistic and say that – if here's what I think really would happen, guys. If I just wrote the same article and I eliminated Mitchell Trubisky's name and said he should be like quarterback X and I didn't tell you who it was, I think a lot more people who are fighting it today would say, yeah, that's really good. But because I put Mitchell Trubisky and people just don't think he's that good, suddenly it becomes, are you kidding me? He's not that good. I don't want Allen to be him.
Well, one thing that's been said a lot in the conversations about Josh Allen is that people who are critical of him sometimes get accused of being too firm, too beholden to old, you know, assumptions of what he would be. Like, I just think, come on, let's just try to be a little bit realistic about what the, like, you're saying in this, I don't think he'll ever be a quarterback who completes 2/3 of his passes. I mean, that's not a record or anything to do that. It's not baseline either, but you know, that's another thing about this year that's really interesting about the Bills on offense is, you know, you have, I'm not sure if it's right to call it a trend. It might be teams that are throwing short, you know, like it's running backs catching a lot of balls now and more diverse and, you know, passing style offenses, 3-4 receivers on the field all the time or a lot of the time. And that leads to, you know, just more short passes that replace what used to be running plays. And here, like, we're going to, I think we're, to some extent, maybe a large extent, going to try to buck that because we're not going to, you know, for different reasons, have him throw too many short passes, right? The accuracy point is part of that, at least. And, you know, we're probably going to run the ball a lot because that's what they've done, and they have lots of running backs, and Allen has been a good runner. I don't know. You know what I'm saying here. Does it add up that way? Does it look that way to you?
Yeah, I think, look, they really do have a bit of a unique situation here where, you know, they do have an old school type of quarterback that has some new school type of athleticism and ways about him. And I think what you want, Mike, is, you know, is right. You know, you want the new school type of offense and you want to do that. And I think he can give that to you. But at the same time, he has such old school traits, if you will, that you also want to kind of let him sit back there and sling it down the field in that manner. And that's not the high completion percentage. And that's not, you know, the safety passes that we see a lot of what football has become and the extension of the run game through the passing game. So it is an interesting way that they're going to have to blend all of that in. But I'll say this, I think they do have a very unique player to be able to do that. He does have one of the strongest arms in the NFL that can throw it throw every pass at any part of the field, but at the same time, he also has the athleticism to get out of the pocket, move around, throw some short passes, run a little bit, and do those things.
Sal Capaccio is with us here on the Wester Hotline, and as always, his appearance is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Sal, like you, I don't expect Allen to be, you know, a 65, 66% passer, maybe ever. In his career, do you have a sense of how the Bills feel about that? Like, do they think that they can make him into someone who can, you know, I don't know, get even close to that?
I don't think there's a number. Like, they might have an internal number. I don't think there's a number that they would ever say, you know, obviously publicly, but even so, it might be in their head, like, hey, can we get him to 63 or 64 or something like that, which would be nice. But all they've ever said, and I believe this, is because of the type of quarterback they drafted, they have to know this going in. So I believe this to be true is, you know, he's not going to be that guy, and we don't expect him to be, but we expect him to make plays. We expect him to make plays that other people can't. We expect him to keep us on the field. We expect him to score points. And you're going to sacrifice. I think knowing that, you have to go into this year, and I think all Bills fans should at least have this expectation. Let's be realistic here. What you should expect from Josh Allen is to be able to sacrifice. You need to sacrifice some of those completion percentage numbers for those other things that he's going to give you. Now, if you sacrifice those numbers and he doesn't give you those other things, now we have a problem. Right. But if you do sacrifice the completion percentage numbers, but he still gives you more, you know, keeping them on the field, making the plays with his feet, making plays with his arms, scoring more points, things like that, it's kind of a sliding scale. You know, it's great. You know, you want Drew Brees, you know, in his prime, who's throwing for a great completion percentage and making every throw on the field, it seems like, you know, but those guys are Hall of Famers and they don't come along very often. You'd love for him to get to that point. But I do think you have to at least be willing to sacrifice some of the completion percentage numbers to get that other stuff. And I think the team is in a mindset that they're willing to do that simply by the fact that they drafted him.
This whole thing with quarterbacks and evaluation is so intricate, whether you're doing that, I think, from inside a team or just from out here. I just think it's so intricate and interesting. Like, Trubisky, my opinion of him is, to this point in his career, it's not much, but I think he's the kind of player that without the advantages of the Bears, maybe that's also the head coach. It's definitely last year's defense, Sal. I mean, and the draft status, right? Because the draft status sets the playing field for what we expect from a player. So we expect him to be good. We sort of think this guy will be good. Whatever happens, happens. But we're starting there. He might, if he's on a bad team, he might be like almost washed out. Like, I don't think he's the kind of player who's going to, and this is almost every player, who's going to take a bad thing and make it good. Right? Like, that's most guys.
Yes.
So
I totally agree. And in my article, I reached out to Chris Emma, who covers the team for 670 The Score in Chicago. And Chris wrote three paragraphs for me. I said, can you give me a breakdown of what you thought from Trubisky from year one to year two? And he writes exactly that, Mike, which is, he said, all that changed from year one with the arrival of Matt Nagy and some talented playmakers. And he basically said it was really Nagy and his play calling and getting the ball to his talented players that really helped him progress. So that is all right. And I think that that's what the Bills' approach has been. I think there's a lot of great comparisons. We've done this. You guys have done it. I've done it. Fans have done it. There's a lot of great comparisons between how the Bears treated their 2018 offseason and how the Bills treated their 2019 offseason. And that's why I think this comparison fits even more, because they really made it in Chicago all about Trubisky, including Nagy, which obviously the Bills didn't change their head coach or their offensive coordinator, but he has to be a part of it, right? Brian Daboll has to be a part of putting those pieces together to making sure that Josh Allen can thrive and get the ball to those playmakers that they went out and tried to get.
Yeah, he's a very big part. You know whose name also applies in this conversation would be Antonio Brown. You know, like Allen Robinson is a nice player, and he had better career numbers. He had a big season or two in Jacksonville that, like, I think he would outrank anybody on the Bills roster, but not Antonio Brown. And the Bills thought that was worth a shot. So I'll say every time, like, I bring that up, and I know it's maybe a sore spot with some fans, but I just like that they tried that. I like that they made a deal for Antonio Brown, like, what happened, but I like that they did that, and that really just speaks further to what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think it at least gives you the comfort of knowing that the philosophy might be changing, or that they see that that's important to have. So that's why they went out to try to do that. But yeah, I mean, you know, overall, guys, you know, I wrote this, and it's been interesting today, because there's been a lot of people who just disagree with me and say, well, Trubisky's not that good. That's a ridiculous, you know, if he's not better than him in year two, what he was last year, I'm kind of done with Allen, and they need to start planning for the future. And I think that's a ridiculous position to take, because if you really look at what Mitch Trubisky was in year one and what he got to in year two, I think that's a nice season for Allen. Now, maybe that's the floor of a nice season, uh-huh, because we all hope for more. But if he turns out this year to have the numbers that Trubisky had in year two, I think the Bills are winning quite a few football games, because they do have a very good defense, and I think they are set up then to win some games.
I have one more. I know your son is probably standing there with a bat, maybe even hitting you with it. But if you, I'd like to hear what you think about this. We were talking about betting odds for a little bit today, and the Jets being at 50-1, the Bills are 66. The Jet win total has been a tick above the Bills. And I think that's the overall opinion, and it's reflected in these lines that the Jets are ahead of the Bills. I just want to know, like, if you respect that or if you agree with that. Do you understand why the Jets would get that edge, at least in terms of the perception or the expectations?
I do. I think it starts with Darnold over Allen for most people, because coming out of college, I think most people had Sam Darnold as a more polished, ready-to-go quarterback, and even some people had Josh Allen as a guy who shouldn't even be on an NFL football field, let alone taken with the 7th overall pick. So I think it starts there with him going into year two. And then with the addition of Le'Veon Bell, I think really, you know, kind of makes people get to even another level with that. But, you know, if you really take the time to look around the roster, I think the Jets have a lot of question marks. I have their offensive line. It still has issues, especially at center. I don't know who their primary pass rusher is going to be, and I don't know how they're going to stop people on the edges at cornerback. So I think the Jets have quite a few question marks around the roster, but for Vegas purposes, Sam Darnold going into his second year, adding Le'Veon Bell, adding Jamison Crowder, adding C.J. Mosley, I understand why the perception would be against the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen at quarterback, and a lot of guys they signed, but not quite to the elite level of Le'Veon Bell, let's say. I think That's why they fall a little bit short of that.
Okay. Have fun at the range.
Yeah, we're going to hit baseballs, not golf balls.
That's right. So. Not the range. You're going to the batting cages.
Yeah, something like that. No, Daddy will just pitch. He'll hit the ball.
I did plenty of that. Right. Yeah.
I'll go chasing it.
Just find an empty spot and just have at it. Yeah. All right.
Thanks, guys.
Good deal. All right. Sal Capaccio there again on the Wester Hotline, and his appearance with us was brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. Need to stock up? It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
So are we going to say that we're not willing to take Trubisky's career for Allen because we want Allen's to be better?
I don't know. Like, I'm not positive that Trubisky won't build on what he's done already. So, I think it would be kind of silly if on one hand you want to say matching him from year one to year two would be a good sign of progress, but at the same time assume that Trubisky is done progressing. Like, it's so I'm not – I wouldn't just answer affirmative to what you said there. I think they could both improve on what they've done after year two. I don't sit here and think Allen has to be better than Trubisky.
But if I said whatever happens to Trubisky is what happens to Allen, they're the same. Whatever happens to Trubisky is what happens to Allen. I would say no to that.
Yeah.
Because
I'm not as bullish on Trubisky.
Yeah. I just don't like. But the conundrum about this, one of them anyway, the whole time for me has been and will continue to be, it's like what you paid for this. The effort you went to get this player was massive. It was other guys going away. It was the draft stuff. Like, it was just it's continuing. It's throwing last season away. You know, like you paid a massive price to get this guy. And so on one hand, like, you need a massive return to justify it. But on the other hand, it doesn't matter right now what you did. I mean, what doesn't matter what you did.
Right.
You did it, and now you got to figure it out from here. And so if you have a team that's really good on defense and your quarterback is just okay, but you're winning, you know, you're going to be happy. But it's always been like that for me with this. Like, whether it was Josh Allen or Rosen or any of them, you wouldn't have had to trade up for all of them or pay as much. But what you know what they did to make room for him and to draft him, like, that just needs to be a massive return for me to think that was worth it. Like, I need all pro. I need, like, way up here, or else, you know, I was probably better off doing something else. And I think that will always be the case. Like, it is with any team and any player. Like, what did it cost you to get to that player? Lamar Jackson and Allen are an easy comp, and the way Allen ran, people are, like, all about, you know, last year in real football and then also in fantasy football. Like, these two guys, we had Mike Clay on yesterday, and the projection for the two guys is really close.
Yeah.
Good and bad.
Yeah, this
and
is interesting.
They didn't need to – they wouldn't have needed to trade anything
that's
to
right.
get Lamar Jackson.
That's right. They could have taken a second – yeah, that's right.
So yeah. He had in that particular line of thinking, he has to be a lot better than Jackson, or else I should have done that,
or at least just I might settle for better. Like you're using a lot of a lot there. There's a lot of a lot coming out of your mouth. Like, you paid a lot, like, sure, but you know, they didn't give up next year's one. Like they moved up. They were aggressive, but I don't know. I'm not that bent about what they paid. Raising the standard so much, but I would have to at least admit to you that if he and Jackson are just comparable, that'll bug me. Because I like Lamar Jackson just fine, too. Like, that would have been a great, you know, if I couldn't go get Sam Darnold, I was fine sitting. I didn't think they would ever do it, but I was fine just sitting there and taking Lamar Jackson.
You have to say the Bills did not know how the draft would go. Like, they don't have the benefit of knowing that. We know now that that was possible.
That's right.
Even if they had stayed at where the Chiefs draft pick was and not traded with Cincinnati.
Right.
Like, we know that. It could have been different, but we have the benefit of hindsight as far as that goes. But yeah, like, the bar is, I think that's probably one reason why I might sound like critical of Allen more so than the next guy. It's because, like, this needs to be a home run or else it was a bad idea. I mean, that's just, I think, in short, what it is. Like, this has to be a home run. 803-0550 is the number. Thoughts on that? Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here on WGR.
When you go to five straight finals, I respect those guys, but holy, when you go to five straight, I mean, it takes more than just a couple of NBA guys. It's like an all-time team, but whatever. That's not. I'd rather win a championship than be 13 on NBA. So. Do I think there's that many guards better than me in the league? No, but that's the reason why we're still playing. So I don't even want to get into it, honestly.
That is Klay Thompson of the Warriors. They await the winner of the Eastern Conference Final. They swept Portland in the West. So they're just hanging out.
So he just found out, like, he found out at this press conference today that he did not make all NBA. And I haven't read the story yet, but the headline suggested that he could have made up to $30 million more had he made all NBA because of bonuses.
Yeah, well, the Supermax deal. So the NBA worked out where there's a max deal, and there's a Supermax deal for players that are either MVPs, offensive or defensive players of the year, or they make an all NBA team.
Okay.
Or they had to make two or three all NBA teams, I think, and Klay needed one more to get the Supermax when he's become a free agent this year, which would be $30 million.
Who was the guy, Joe, we were talking about, the rule is named for him? Or one of these rules is named for him?
There was a Derrick Rose rule, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Derrick Rose.
Yeah, that's what it is. So I told you I didn't read it, but that's right. And he's sitting at a press conference in a gym, and guys are around him, and somebody tells him that he doesn't make all NBA. And, you know, he actually stays pretty cool, like, in that.
For losing $30 million, like, in that moment.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about that? Like, the NBA, and I'm not the expert on it, but the NBA has that system where honors matter in that. Really, these kind of awards don't matter at all. There can be bonuses in your contract, but not on that level. So, you know, somebody wins an MVP, somebody wins whatever, but really that's just, like, for your own gratification, you know, for how you're remembered, maybe, if it's that big of an award. This, though, is like, you vote on that. You need to take that seriously. I assume they do. That doesn't mean that they're making good choices, necessarily, the voters. But
right.
You need to take that seriously.
I'm not sure everyone took it seriously. I think Dwayne Wade got an all-NBA vote. Like, there's some weird ones on there. So
is it media who vote?
Yeah, media vote.
How about that? Like, here's a situation right. where yeah. the players, like, need the media.
Yeah.
If they're, like, that kind of that caliber of a player, having the media. I mean, this would also be the case in an MVP vote if you had an MVP bonus, you know, and in whatever sport.
Yeah.
But that's, like, your contract. I mean, right. that is
the only yeah, the
bigger.
Only, yeah, I didn't know. All of this is pretty much news to me. Although I knew the All-NBA voting had taken place and that they had named the team, I saw some tweets from Bill Simmons talking about how he voted. And like the one thing that stood out to me that he wrote was, you know, LeBron James is maybe the greatest ever, but if you vote for him as All-NBA after this season, like what are we even doing here? Like, what are we trying to accomplish by having an all-NBA team if you're just going to put, like, a career achievement like him on this team just because he's who he is? Like, I can't do that.
Well, I kind of want to know now how it's supposed to work. Because with anything like that, you can pick who you think the best player is, or you can pick who you think had the best year. Right, which is a little different. Maybe a little. It can be a little different.
Right,
or you can define for yourself what value is. Like a lot of people in this business do. They just like, oh well, I am going to tell you because even though I have no idea if it's true, I'm going to tell you what would have happened to that team had this player not been on it.
Yeah,
and that's so many biases at once. That's you know my you know guess at that. It's like how value it can just go on and on and on. And to the point where you're hearing, you know, you're making judgments about relationships between players and all this. I'd prefer to never do any of that unless I knew it. But still, value for me, most of that I can measure. And so what are you supposed to do with LeBron James? Did he actually, I mean, he had a good season. He's also playing against his own career.
Right.
So like, oh, he's not as good. I mean,
yeah.
I'm a thinker, so I would just go nuts with this, right. probably. Like, I'd enjoy it.
Like, I think you, I would want to do it differently. I think about the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And I'm not, like, up on exactly who everybody is now that would deserve to go to the All-Star Game. But, like, in other years, thinking back to the end of Derek Jeter's career, the end of Cal Ripken's career. Cal Ripken maybe is perfect for this. Is he one of the best shortstops in baseball right now? No. He's Cal Ripken. So I'm going to go to the All-Star game. I'm going to watch the All-Star game. And Cal Ripken is still playing. And does he deserve to be there ahead of whoever? Probably not. But he's friggin' Cal Ripken. And it's a game. So, okay. I'm going to want to watch Cal Ripken bat against Randy Johnson or whatever, okay?
You want the stars.
Right. I want the stars. I want the guys I know, right? And he deserves a victory lap if it's his final one or whatever, you know? At the end of the year, if you're trying to put together, like, the all-Major League Baseball team, no. No, that's a different thing. You know, who's the best right now
right.
is a very different thing than should he be in the All-Star game. LeBron right. James, 100 times out of 100, until he cannot walk anymore. If he's playing basketball, he's in the All-Star game.
I would love to see retired guys in it.
Right.
Certain
okay.
retired guys.
Sure.
Kareem,
all,
for starters.
Sure. All-NBA team? How was your year? Like, that's how I think you want to you want to approach it. There should be no weight given to who you've been. It's just that's a who you were this year, period.
I'm not knowledgeable enough to tell you whether I think like Klay Thompson deserves it. I have no opinion on that. I mean, I know I'd love to watch him and I love his team, but I don't know. Can anybody here do that? Does anybody here know if Klay Thompson has a seriously good argument that he should have been named?
I think he does. I think he has a real, like, some of the guys that were put in there, like Westbrook and Kemba Walker, like guards that had like good seasons, but I don't know, like the players that are the best player on their team and they kind of get more shine for that, where Klay Thompson is, I think, kind of hurt in this area because he's the third best player on his team. I think if you were just going to look at, hey, skill set and make the most of your opportunity, then maybe I would say, yeah, he should be in there. But like, it's tough. Like, how much do you weigh, and each voter probably decides this, how much do you weigh what his role is on his team and that he is the third best player in that team? I mean, Durant got second team All NBA. People are talking second about that team. Too. Right. So I think so he's kind of hurt in that where he's, yes, where he's playing.
Almost definitely. And this is counterintuitive because they're so good. But almost definitely the fact that the Warriors are so good works against those guys for this.
And in a situation like this, it's kind of it's costing them money. At least in this very specific, yep, circumstance.
Right. And you see Durant, I mean, so Durant is not for the first time arguing on social media about his value. He's out, and they swept Portland without him. Chris Broussard, a commentator and analyst, and Durant have been going back and forth about... Broussard wrote that, or said that, this is his worst nightmare. What's happened to Golden State here is his worst nightmare, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, for his value, and Durant took exception to that because he just can't control himself, I guess. You know, I can respect it a little bit. You can... He has the right to defend himself, but, like, is that true? I mean, do you think Durant... I don't know if I think this, again, like, I don't spend enough time thinking about it. Like, is Durant really going to be injured in free agency by the fact that they swept Portland? Portland was not a great team. They were down 15 points or 17 points in three of those games. It's amazing that they won.
I think there's almost no way he's injured by any of that in free agency. But he'll be injured probably where he cares more, with his reputation, with what people are dogging him about. He seems really, really easy to tweak.
Oh yeah.
And you know, if they just keep rolling along here without him, I think people will be on him because what's the worst thing? I mean, anybody who has any kind of public life where, you know, 10,000 or 20,000 or a million people can get at you in social media, know that once you let it be known that it really bothers you, I mean, it is on. So like Durant, if there were 50,000 people who wanted to just flick Durant in the nose, there's now a million after what's gone on this week. It's never going to stop. So I think, you know, he'll get a ton of dough. He's going to go to the Knicks. He's going to get piles of dough, and everyone's going to go, good job, good luck winning in New York, KD.
When he doesn't, that'll just exacerbate.
Right.
Well, what should he want now? Now he can't win. Then, because if he goes to the Knicks, and the Knicks won't win because they're the Knicks, say,
right?
Like, he'll just get mocked for that, and he's gone to the best team, and he gets mocked for that.
Well, that's how he wins. He goes to that team, and he makes them win. Now, that might be hard to do, but it seems like one of the big things he's always upset about or annoyed about is people questioning his legacy because of the decision he made. So I could see him, given that, wanting to prove people wrong in that area. And how do you prove people wrong? Well, you don't stick with the team that's going to win the NBA title maybe without you. You go to the team that has not been able to win even a playoff series in 20 years, and you bring them to the NBA championship.
There's a LeBron parallel.
Yeah.
Go back to Cleveland. Right. He rode Miami to titles. Now go back to Cleveland and do it. He did it.
Right.
And so he was more vindicated because of that.
Sure, of course.
That helped him a lot.
Yeah. Like, I don't even... The decision in league going to Miami, it doesn't even stick to him for me at all anymore. It's like, okay, whatever, you're fine. It didn't even happen. Like, I know it did, and I was really mad about it, but hey, you're cool. So go back to Oklahoma City.
What if he goes to New Orleans?
If who goes to New Orleans?
Durant.
Durant?
Who goes to New Orleans?
Ooh.
Zion Williamson, Anthony Davis, and Kevin Durant. Like that, like if I'm him and the thing I care about is this, then I'm probably not going to the Knicks. I mean, the Knicks could also sign other stars. It's New York City, but
yeah,
you know, there's a team where that'd be respectable. It's like playing at Oklahoma City with Harden and Westbrook. You know, like you have some supporting cast.
No, you need
a real one.
You need some supporting cast, but just don't join a super team. Just don't do that. Like, don't join up with LeBron and Anthony Davis, and like don't go that far. I think if that's what he's worried about, if he wants to win titles, do whatever you want.
Is Utah still a team?
Yeah,
they
still
have a team. They still have a basketball team.
Maybe Utah, then.
The Jazz, yes.
Yeah, just go to the most random team and just put them on the map.
How about let's get a wheel out. Yeah. Yeah. Let's spin it. You guys have all this to say about where I play. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get a wheel right now. Everybody tunes in. We get a wheel, and we spin the wheel. And whoever it lands on, I will go there if they want me.
I'd watch that.
Oh, my God. Bulldogs parents would watch that.
I'd pay to watch that. Pay-per-view.
I mean, everybody would watch that. I mean, what a move that. That would just be insane. You guys have so much to say. Everybody's got to weigh in on where I should play. I came here, you were mad. I'm going there, you're going to be mad. Everybody's just going to always, you know what? Fine. You win. Let's get a wheel out, and we'll do it like that. And then, I'm going to be set for life. I'm already set for life. I've got rings. I'm going to live in the nicest house wherever I go. You tell me where to go.
I love it.
Oh.
It's about as good as you can do. I love it.
When I get home tonight, I am going to start shooting baskets because this is what I need. Mm. I think I will probably need to do this myself. I am going to start to work on my jumper tonight. Mid-range. Mid-range. Just to start there.
Not from way out? Okay.
Not from way out. No, I got to start slow.
Yeah.
I got time. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, with Sneaky Joe. He's on at 7 weeknights with his show, The Nightcap. This is
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
GR.
Hey, we got a pretty sweet Father's Day deal for you. Go to WGR550.com for your chance to win a brand new Weber grill from Value Home Centers, along with a prize pack and gift card from Country Sweet Chicken and Rib Restaurant. Just in time for Father's Day, who doesn't want a brand new grill, especially a Weber? Enter now through June 9th at WGR550.com.
Hope you've enjoyed our show today. If you've been listening all day, I've enjoyed it. A lot of sports, a little bit of Hogshead cheese talk, which turns out does not have cheese in it.
Gelatinous pig face, yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're going to be like that, but...
It was more just I was trying to remember what I ended up at, and that was it. Okay, doesn't matter.
I've got a game for you after the update.
Ooh.
Joe, actually, I couldn't hear Joe, but his mouth looked like he was making the sound you made.
Yeah, the exact same. Not going to lie.
Sort of
yes.
Put his mouth in a circle there. Real quick, Ryan Callahan came up earlier, and I guess there are rumors about whether the Sabres would trade for Ryan Callahan of Rochester. Should they?
If I get JT Miller along with him, sure. Like I have the room. It's only one more year, right?
I think that's what
Callahan
heard.
One more year, $5.8 million.
Right. Like, I mean, it's obviously not worth $5.8 million, but if it's a thing that helps me make a good trade, like this is Ristolainen to me. Tampa might need to do that. They don't have a lot of defensemen signed, and you know they're in a cap crunch, so. I give them Ristolainen. I take Callahan off their hands. That more than makes up for Ristolainen's cap hit, and I get JT Miller. I don't know. Do I even get something else too? I don't know. Like, yeah, I would do it to get my hands on a youngish player who's provably decent. Like JT Miller's not great. But I think he's all right. He's pretty good. He would fit the bill maybe for me to just sort of bridge the gap until I know that Mittelstadt can really do it. Like I can't count on that going into this year. If I'm, you know, I'm thinking about how we talked with Luke Fox in the 4 o'clock hour and how, you know, be patient. And I asked him specifically, if I do a trade like that, do I want prospects or do I want JT Miller? And he said prospects. I might go Miller and plug him in, and I can live with Callahan for a year. Like, he's not going to hurt me. You know, on the ice, he's playing a role that he's going to play, which is going to be 12 minutes a night on my fourth line. Fine. I can live with that.
I feel like we're talking about Gianta a little bit. I mean, not maybe just because he's from Rochester, but, you know, Gianta was brought here to do more than that.
Right.
Maybe in the end he was doing that. And that was 3 years, I think, right? He was here for 3 years.
Yeah.
All right. Got a game next. Quarterback game. You have a little time to study, like 5 minutes. Yeah, then we go.
I'm not going to study.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.